Mazda. Get an end of financial year bonus on Mazda BT50.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Where am I at?
Put moron number two on the phone.
You've run out of steam.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
I feel good.
I actually saw that film the other day. What? Rocky? Was that Rocky 3? Rocky 4, Ivan Drago. Rocky 4.
Yeah.
When he gets in the ring, old Apollo Creed, to fight Ivan Drago. Mm. And there is the great Godfather of Soul singing that exact number in the middle with all the moves. Creed's got his gloves in the air.
What are you watching that for?
I don't know. It was just on TV and I thought that is the song that starts our show every single day. Hello to everybody. By the way, Damien Barrett in talking footy. Ooh, big round. Two interesting round. And then Lyndon Dunn's second half, a little bit of old topics, Brayshaw, which I like better to get nice Monday underway. Hello to you, Fat Stuff.
G'day, Jimmy Boy. G'day, listeners. G'day to you, Rabs.
And Mitch, happy birthday to all the mums out there.
Happy Mother's Day, you mean? Not birthday.
Well, happy birthday. Happy Mother's Day.
Whispers.
And happy birthday in case your birthday falls on Mother's Day as well. We appreciate every one of them, we do.
Exactly right.
Oh, come on, Whisper, you're better than that.
No, he's not.
I would have thought he's better than that.
No, he's not, Jim. I'm telling you. Oh, remember his first night when he read the sport and his eyes were all up and like, and he couldn't read it and he was all stuck there. Oh,
not
fantastic.
As funny as when he was sitting next to Greg Hutchison. He said, and next will be joined by the Melbourne coach.
They can't remember.
Staring at the camera.
Oh. Come on, Whispers.
He's one of my all-time favourites, Whispers.
Yes, I love Whispers.
What's happening, please?
Plenty going on, Jim, as you said. When we'll talk to Damo, of course. But
yes.
Dane Rampey, not sure what he was up to. Jimmy's going to get a please.
Weird.
Please explain, Larry.
Very weird.
That, and also calling the umpire. You speak
like a girl.
Yeah,
that's a bit weird too.
Exactly. Gary Ablett, he's up again. Very similar to last week, Jim.
He was up during the game by the look of it. I didn't see any of that game, but gee, he just doesn't miss. He's a superstar.
You know what the difference between those two sides? North are very good, by the way. The finishing, Jim. The catch just kicked goals when needed.
North. Well, as I said to you not long ago, my 13-year-old Georgie boy, who loves his kangaroos, said to me, he watched the game at his mum's, but came over later and he said, Dad, we are 1-6 every week.
Yeah.
And I said, it's actually a reasonable point he makes.
It is. Very,
very inaccurate, North, and that is poor.
Do you know who's third on the AFL ladder?
No.
So it's Geelong, Collingwood.
Yes.
Adelaide.
Fair dinkum.
And they snuck along nicely.
No, just getting the job done.
Exactly.
It's a weird season, this one, Bill.
Yes.
Also, just when you think you've got a line through a mob, GWS, great
Giants.
Example,
yep.
And then suddenly they cough that up yesterday, it's going to be one of those weird seasons.
It is. A Melbourne Storm bounce back, Jimmy boy.
Nicely done.
You know why? Because they got a very good coach.
And he's hard. The bellyache. Brilliant.
They smashed the Eels 64-10.
Oh, what about that for a
64-10.
Belting?
64-10.
Have some of that, Eels.
And they played every game up there in Brisbane.
Dale Finucane in tomorrow.
Finucane.
Finucane.
We might get Josh Adokar. Melbourne Rebels had a win, Jim. They beat the Reds again, 30-24 in Queensland.
Very good.
Vixens won. They are now 3-0 on the top of the ladder. They beat the Thunderbirds a go.
Yes.
Rene Ingles was named player of the match. Old Ringles.
Ringles.
I'm not talking about what happened over there with the basketball. We'll come back.
Spoiler alert. That's coming up later.
3:00. Melbourne victory, Jim. I don't know if you saw Friday night. I tell you what, soccer's got me in this week.
I don't know what's happened to you.
But
you must be bored.
I watched Adelaide take on Perth over in Perth. Perth, the best team ever. It was 3 all at the end, and then these penalty shootouts. Adelaide missed 5 in a row.
How do you do that?
You cannot do that. No. I could do it.
Exactly.
Just walk up with me donger and go bang, I ought to put one through. Mate, they missed 5 in a row. Anyway, Perth got through.
Yes.
And then last night, Jim, Melbourne victory, went to Sydney and played Sydney.
Guess for a spot in the final.
For a spot in the grand final.
So it would have been tight.
It was 3-0 at halftime. End up being 6-1.
6-1.
Victory got smashed.
Oh, what?
That's unlike Victory.
Come on.
Very unlike them. They've got a few players leaving too, so interested to see
them. And maybe the coach.
Hello, Rabs is wandering in.
Oh, Rabsy.
Hello, look at Rabsy.
He will come through the bloody
look
doors.
At Rabs.
And Man City won the Premier. Did you see that? Premier League. Did you see that? Ahead of Liverpool?
Yeah. They'll be shattered Liverpool too.
But you know what, Liverpool, 38 games, Jim, because I'm starting to get involved.
Yeah, look at you get involved.
They play 38 games for the year. Liverpool lost one game.
Oh.
One game for the year they lost.
Come on. Anyway. Well, they're in the Champions League final, so.
They are. That's
might give them the consolation
and
they want.
I'll give you an update of the Triple M MVP leaderboard after 8 rounds.
Yes.
Fifth at the minute is Nat Fyfe, 9 votes.
Yes.
Fourth, Rory Sloane.
Rosa.
With 10. Third, Lachie Neale with 12 votes. Second, Patrick Cripps.
Who is unbelievably
good.
We gave
him
weekend.
3 on the weekend.
He was very good.
He's on 13. And the leader, Tim Kelly, on 14.
Also been very good.
What happens at the end of the year? If he goes, I
don't know. Hey, I watched Freo yesterday just to keep an eye on my nephew, who didn't get anywhere near it, by the way. But Nat Fyfe wouldn't have been the best on ground, I don't reckon, in the game. Richmond are brilliant, by the way. We'll chat to Damo about that. But I'll tell you what Nat Fyfe is from a midfielder's point of view.
He's in trouble.
The best, yeah, he might be too. We'll talk about that. But he's the best overhead of any of the midfielders in the comp.
Cripps?
Yeah, no. Nat Fyfe jumps at the footy and marks it overhead better than any midfielder
playing
the game.
Have you seen Patrick Cripps?
Yeah, but I'm talking big pack clunkers.
Have you seen Patrick
Cripps? Yeah, not as good, Bill. He's good in other areas and a brilliant player. And I'm not saying he's not a better player than Nat Fyfe. But he doesn't mark it above his head as well, Bill.
I reckon that escaped you, and then I brought it up, and because you don't want to say, actually, you're right, Bill.
No, because you're not right. He jumps at the footy for a midfielder better than anyone in the comp.
He's a very good mark.
Beautiful overhead mark.
All right, if we're in the playground and you've got your little flog mates and I've got my tough mates over here.
Are they both 18 or right now?
They're...
I'm taking Cripps right now because he's younger.
They're both 20.
No, I'm a Fyfe man, Bill. I love him.
Wow.
I love him and I want him in my team all day long.
Bonton
Plus,
Kelly?
He's a good-looking boy. So he can also have good
Paddy Cripps a good-looking boy.
He can do good stuff after hours for you too.
Paddy Cripps a legend of me.
Bill's getting a little firm downstairs.
We walked into the bot today. Me and Cripper walked into the bot together.
Oh, no.
I'd much rather walk than with the duck.
Oh, yeah, well, now we're going a whole different way.
I think he's been.
Let's get Damo involved in this conversation because we need to talk footy.
Wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Get Purple in here and discuss footy.
This is Damo's recovery session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
We love it, Damo. Welcome to you for Coat Tire.
Bit going on.
G'day, Damo.
There is a bit going on.
Hello, Bill. Before you go there, you're a very, very neutral man. Fyfe or Cripps? Overhead.
Fyfe.
I'll stick with Jim.
No, I've got my own opinions.
You're allowed to have your own
Unlike
Bill.
You, I don't need to read or hear someone else's before having my opinion.
Actually, I have got an opinion about coaching today.
Oh, hello. Well, we're looking forward to hearing that, Bill. But let's hear from Damo, given he's come in. Dane Rampey, where are we at with this? That is, I don't know Dane Rampey at all, but I've watched him with great admiration.
He's a bit different.
Always loved the way he's played, but you're right, a different sort of character.
Yeah.
But that should have been... a re-kick in the goal square and Essendon win that game of football. And that would have then been the greatest brain fade I reckon I've seen in our game for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's a fair summary of what should have happened, Jim, and what would have entailed with commentary around it, because his decision to scale the goalpost, whether you knew the rules or not, there was just something wrong about it. Mm. And brain fade is one word. He's lived on the edge a little bit, Dane. And
so you
even,
think there was some mischief attached to it?
I think there's some mischief. Right. I think he's been a bit of a smart aleck.
Yeah, okay.
Because
what was he going to do? Touch the ball or try and get the post wobble?
Look, how would you know? And again, he will now be forced to speak publicly
please
about
explain.
This because he's got to please explain from the AFL on scaling the goalpost and also for something he said to an umpire. And we'll get to both those issues in a moment. But, The smart aleck nature of it, Bill, I think, was where he was at. And for the AFL, though, also, too, which is all part of this story, to say that it was practical umpiring and that the kick wasn't affected by the swinging goalpost. Well, go back and have a look at what actually did happen. The goalpost was ever so slightly swinging before Myers had the shot at goal. So the retelling of it and the recreating of it, I think, is a bit interesting from the AFL's perspective, too. Mm.
Just talking to Matty Lloyd yesterday, we asked why he didn't kick a torp, Myers.
Yep.
You know why? He's got one of his fingers is missing, or half his finger is missing.
So can't kick a torpedo.
So he can't hold it for a torpedo.
Oh, wow.
Which we didn't know. His hand's all mangled, and he couldn't kick a torpedo.
Yeah, so the AFL signed off on it. And you know my views on that, Jim and Bill. They would have signed off on it if they'd given the free kick to David Myer. So rubbery are the rules in which we apply to the game and the way they like to justify it after the event. But going back to the previous issue in the second quarter with Dane Rampey speaking to a field umpire, this is what he said.
I called it three times.
It's also a little girl.
What did you do?
Was
Jake.
Stepping off?
Yeah, you stepped right off.
Oh, God.
And I get it. It's in the heat of battle. He made a nice comment to an umpire last year about if he had another coffee with Clarko, which was, I think, a playful reference. But I think you've got to be better than saying what he said there to the umpire about a little girl. And the AFL thinks so too. They've asked him to at least explain it. Now, look, I'm not saying be suspended or even have a massive fine, but I think we need to sharpen up a little bit when it comes to commentary of that nature.
Speaking
between player
officials
and umpire. And just on the entirety of his night and the fact that he is a leader of the Swans, John Longmire, we had on the Saturday Rub, and he was at a loss as to what his main player was doing.
John, do you know what Dane Rampey was trying to do last night?
No, not really, Dane. not really.
What have you said to him?
Other than what was that about? And I broke rule number one that I normally live by, Damo, which is never assume that everyone knows everything.
And you know the way the rules work, and I think people who are a bit older know of past incidents like this. Have you dodged the bullet with this?
I'm not going to get involved in that too much, Damo. I mean, the game's done.
There is no doubt they dodged a bullet. There's no doubt. Because you say they would have been able to explain it had they gone the other way. For me, it was a much easier explanation.
To explain that way.
Absolutely. You just turn around and say, we gave the kick from the square because the player climbed the post, which is 100% illegal.
Yeah.
And then it's just done. It doesn't matter how fanatical a Swans fan you are. Once you explain the rule, you just got to go, well, what the hell was he doing?
And don't do it. No, and if you don't do it, we're not talking about it. No. And for people to argue that him climbing the post is not him shaking the post, but the post was shaking. Yeah. It's not as if they're trying to sort of differentiate between the climb and the motion of shaking the post. The effect was the same.
What happens if Essendon missed the finals by percentage or game?
Well, it's their own fault. I mean, they shouldn't have been in that situation anyway. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't think you can factor that into the outcome of a season.
I absolutely love this game. You know that, Purple. But I also come out of a game I played and now a game I love playing in cricket and golf where there is zero grey area.
Yeah.
If the rule is the rule, it's the rule. And the penalty fits the rule.
There's more grey in AFL than any other sport.
We allow this common sense to suddenly creep in.
Yeah.
And if the ball's caught above the grass, you're out and you walk off.
Yeah.
Like there's zero sort of room for interpretation in these other games, but we allow it.
We do. And it was similar to what we said a couple of weeks ago when Sean Ryan, the senior umpire, justified the five controversial decisions in the Anzac Day game. And I had the view then, I think it's pertinent to this conversation with the grey, all those decisions could have gone the other way, and he could have justified them equally forcefully.
Rabsy, do we need to get to a break?
Yes.
All right, we're going to talk about Gary Ablett next, as he got a case to answer.
Damien Barrett's in the studio.
Gary Ablett, superstar, by the way, and just showed it. I didn't see the game, but I saw the highlights later, and you got one mob who just can't find the big opening, kicked 2 goals, 6 to start the final term, and just pulled the gun out and shot their foot off, and then it goes up the other end, and the little master just goes bang, bang.
Yep. He did, and he went bang, 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 bang in total on that game, 4 goals, 13 goals in his past 5 games, and that stretch of 5 games... I think there's a case you made. He's got Brownlow votes in each of those 5 games. Now, I can't recall what he did prior to that in the first 3 games from a Brownlow medal perspective, Bill. I don't think it was as good as the past 5. But
is he eligible, Brownlow, not?
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we, in an hour and a half's time or so or thereabouts. The way I read it, Michael Christian has to refer this to the tribunal. Or, sorry, at least give him the 1 week on what he adjudicated last week. I felt he was always going to get off last week, as I think you did too, Jim.
Too,
he had to use the tribunal mechanism in order for that to be the case. I can't see a scenario, provided they can establish without doubt that there was contact made to Sam Wright's head, which there appears to be. But having said that, I haven't seen an angle which absolutely beyond refute says that it did. So once Michael Christian gets his head around that, Bill, it has to, I believe, go down a path where it's going to be 1 week unless he challenges.
There was a day gone by where the tribunal used to go, we let you off last week. You come back here way too quickly.
Yeah.
So just have a little spell.
Shouldn't work that way, should it?
Well, it did. I'm not sure it still does. But it certainly used to.
I honestly don't know what's going to happen.
don't you?
No.
And for you to say that means he's probably dumb, because you normally say there's nothing to see here with a Geelong player, particularly a great one.
Orazio, Fantasia. It's a bit like Danny, the man, the green man, machine man, mean man.
What
are we doing with this?
Well, I think that's all got to him. He's now done a quad again, and he's out for another couple of weeks, which is a real problem for him and Essendon. But he's got himself into another brawl, BT, hasn't he, with what's going on here? Well, I think we just have to retrace a few steps here. So we go back to the Friday huddle last year, Jim. Orazio Fantasia comes into the Friday huddle, and Howie, as you'll hear here, asks him how he should pronounce his name.
How do you introduce yourself? Hi, my name is
Fantasia.
Right. So we've got that.
Fantasy.
We then had Channel 7.
So therefore, Friday night was old news. That's a year ago.
But Jim, it gets more intriguing and confusing, okay? So that's what he said last year on record with cameras and tapes rolling.
Yes.
BT, as we know, wasn't doing Friday night footy. Channel 7 pulled rank on him and started saying, we're going to call him Fantasia. BT, when we came in on the Saturday rub, was nicely worked up over the whole matter.
Hello.
In Italy, it's Fantasia.
Right.
Guess where we live?
Melbourne.
Australia. We call it Fantasia.
I'm with you.
Now, we don't pronounce Italian names in Australia the full Italian way.
I'm with you.
We pronounce it with the Australianism in it, and that's how we'll continue to do it. His name is Fantasia.
So if you're calling
in Australia,
what are you going to do?
It's going to be because Bruce,
this is getting to you.
Bombers game that we do, and Bruce says Fantasia, you're going to call the same guy Fantasia.
I will be going with Orazio.
Okay, so it's as clear as mud right now, and wait for it to get even muddier. Orazio Fantasia.
Oh, no.
Fantasia was stopped today before getting some scans, and it was put to him once again. How do we say your name?
When someone stops you at the airport and says, what's your name? What do you say?
I say Fantasia. So there it is.
Jim, what's happened? So he's had two cracks at it.
Yep.
BT's only had the one crack at it. Channel 7's tried to pull rank on BT, and I'm none the wiser as to
what
happens from
here. Well, now we've heard it out of the man's mouth. It's Fantasia, so we go with Fantasia.
BT was accused of casual racism with some of his comments on this.
Exactly.
Fantasia is what we go with.
Basil liked it.
He did.
He liked to call it the other way.
We've just had it out of the man's own mouth that Fantasia is it, so Fantasia's it.
That'll do.
Well, it's better than Coffee Boy, which is what you called him.
Well, he did look, that was a while ago, Jim, and he did look like a little Coffee Boy.
He'll be missed by them. He turned into an unbelievably important player for them.
Well, four goals against Sydney on Friday night, and that wasn't enough for them to get them over the line, but he'd missed a couple prior to that. We may as well stick with BT while we're on BT, do you think? Because he was well and truly worked up over being overlooked for the Friday night coverage. It was his domain, he wasn't happy. And Basil Zemplis took over BT's role, and BT wasn't happy.
You don't like having nights off for that
Basil
reason, though.
Does one game a year.
One.
Give Baz a go. Give Baz a go. He does the one a year up there in Sydney, so he doesn't have to travel because he's up there weekend sunrising.
I think that's faint praise. He's just been damned with their Baz.
Give Baz a go. Give Baz a go.
And then he was just getting his eye in because no one was safe after we got him nice and truly worked up, because then he took on the great Bruce McAvaney.
Bruce was also
Bruce swings with the wind.
Hello.
Hello.
As was proven last night. He's with me the week before, and we're calling him Fantasia, and then Basil comes on and calls him Fantasia.
You're now taking on the king of commentary.
What about that?
No bigger name in that network, and Bristol's just taken aim.
Damo, what is going on there? There's a bit of bit going on.
The horse race to replace Bruce.
The horse race,
it's interesting.
And he's there.
Our man's in front.
Our man's there.
Our man's definitely in front.
Right, okay.
So James Brayshaw's in front.
Yeah,
BT was sort of neck and neck, but I think after taking on Bruce publicly like he did on Saturday.
Hamish
is back in the thing. Don't rule out the Duke of Wellness, Luke Darcy. He's there as well.
Chipping away, is he?
Yep. Yep,
wow.
And Basil's clearly in the race too, because he usurped BT on Friday night.
What we're doing here is pointing to the podcast you do with Hutchie that I still haven't received payment for. I'm going to put an invoice in, Bill.
Yes.
They have had me on that thing,
every week
for two straight years. Everyone else invoices Hutchie. So it's time I did too, people.
Sounding board, very good podcast.
He doesn't pay them all.
Speaking of boards, what about old Bill Board himself here?
Up in Sydney, you're at the MCG, and then you're at headquarters, AFL House. There's a big thing of you there.
It's silly,
isn't
it?
What's going on, Damo?
It's silly, Bill.
What is it?
I've got no saying.
Positive, we're going to do both in the one segment next. Rabsy.
Damien Barrett.
Now we've got a negative positive in the same segment here. Yep. 4 and 4. We're going four. Purple. So
we'll
which way?
Miss the positive view. We'll start with the positives.
Right, let's go.
I like the win most of Hawthorn. Now, Bill, you like Richmond. We'll get to them Richmond, in a minute. Yeah. But I just thought with Alistair Clarkson's decision to axe Jared Roughead, the great Jared Roughead, it just set a feel for the team, which allowed them to then keep GWS to just 5 goals in totality. It was just quite extraordinary. Mitchell Lewis starting to show some significant signs there with the responsibilities that went his way with Roughead not being around. And look, they've got themselves back to 4 and 4. They play Richmond this round coming up, Bill. Look, he's got them back on track. And he always does, doesn't he, Kako? Richmond was your winner of the weekend, though, wasn't it, Bill?
They had a lot of blokes out, of course, we all know that. But then they lost two before half-time, one being Nankervis, the big ruckman. And that really hurt them.
And Jack Ross being the other who they lost within the game, on top of the already massive names who were out.
And Freo were favourites. Yeah, home ground, they should have won that. And Richmond, great win. Well done.
And won it easy.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't just fall in. They won that game easy.
Moving on for another positive is Tim Kelly. Bill, as part of the celebration of Geelong that is unfolding this year with 7 wins and 1 loss from the 8 games, and the one loss being by less than a kick to a very good team in GWS. So
that helps him, but does it help Geelong if he does leave?
In what way?
At the end of the year.
The winning?
Yeah, no, him playing so well.
It doesn't help him, but when you are in a situation as he will be in, where he's got a choice of 2 clubs to go to, it does limit the scope for which can be gained by way of him being traded, because he's limited the marketplace to 2. So it's going to have to be 2 first-round picks. So I don't know. I think even as a starting point, there'll be needed to be something else added on.
So this year and next year type of deal.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. And when I say 2 first-round, I'm not saying 2 in the top 5, but it's going to have to be something like that. I mean, if he wasn't best on ground yesterday, Billy was 2nd best, wasn't he? And he would have to be in all Australian calculations, I would have thought.
He got the votes yesterday.
He got the votes in the Triple M leaderboard, and he now leads Bill on the back of that.
Righto, fourth positive?
Fourth positive. I'm going to go with Alex Keith. You know, I've got a massive soft spot for his footy story. He's still only played 20 games of footy. He's 27 years of age.
Yep.
He's actually helped this football club get its season back on track, hasn't he? They've got 4 in a row. He's brought players back into the game around him. Daniel Talia, I think, was struggling. I reckon in the last 3 to 4 weeks, Daniel Talia has really blossomed on the back of Keith being the intercept marker that he's become and the good ball user
and
that
he is. Doom and gloom with the loss of Lever. That's pretty well covered now. So
Dode going out. Yeah, so I think it's nicely
All right, I'm jumping in on the positive.
Oh,
righto. Yep. All right.
Go.
The 666, the last minute of Gold Coast Melbourne. Perfect illustration as to why that's a great rule change. So I love that. And I'm loving the umpiring, Purple.
Yeah?
We're down to an average of 30 free kicks a game, which is about 20 less than the first 2 or 3 rounds. Much, much, much better. So the officials are doing a great job.
You've always been an advocate for less is better when it comes to free kicks.
Let the players play. And it's brilliant. I love it. Keep going. All right, we'll go the other way.
We'll go the other way. We'll start with Essendon. This time last year, they were 2-6, and their season was effectively done. They're 1 win better placed this year, Bill. They're 3-5, but didn't like what I saw against the Swans when Triple M footy was up there on Friday night. They just lack a serious spark and a serious confidence level that allows them.
Discipline they were.
Yeah, they were at times. Yeah. They were at times. And again, I'm not one to read a lot into body language post match, but Matty Lloyd is, and he didn't like what he saw when it came to, you know, little high fives and pats on the backside and okay, it's sort of okay feel. It's there's just something lacking there.
They've got Freo at home, and then they've got Richmond, and then they've got Carlton before the bye.
Yep.
So that will, when if they get there in an ambulance, they're done.
Yep.
But if they win 2 of the 3 of them,
back in the race.
They've still got some pulse.
Not going to call it just yet, but it's getting pretty crucial. Carlton's loss, you called it magnificently, Jim, and you too, Bill, on Saturday against
Great
Collingwood.
Game.
11 points up, 20-minute mark of the last quarter, lose by 3 goals. I don't know how that happens. And the inevitability around that time, I mean, I heard you commentating, both of you at the time, and you felt that they were going to always get up Collingwood if they kicked that goal that they required to. Well, and it's just a doom and gloom scenario now. And I feel it's almost as damning as the bad loss they had the previous week against Carlton. Now, I know that's a harsh way of looking at it, but there's a cumulative effect of losing matches this way that just does not sit well. And unfortunately,
I felt for them. Yeah, Cripps kicks that goal. Like, they go to 13 points up or whatever it would have been. And
it's going to be up to 16 or 17, wasn't it?
If Alistair Clarkson or Craig Bellamy is coaching Carlton at that time, Carlton win.
And that they might be 4-4, even 5-3 this year. So that's unfortunately the way the world works. And you're right, those two coaches last week, one made a massive statement publicly about his team, and one actually physically made the change of taking a major player out of his team in Ruffhead.
Well, they're nasty coaches.
And they work. GWS to score 38 points in total, having averaged 117, I think it was, in the previous 2 weeks. That was a bad loss. And Jimmy Bartel, who's the director of that club, has gone them publicly today in a way that's very profound. So you can see those comments on the AFL platforms.
Got to be able to win at the G, obviously.
Worrying too, Jim, just to round up this negativity here. Yes. Crowd violence, and it is violence. What went on at the MCG, you probably saw some of it from your commentary box. But people who I've spoken to who saw some of what was going on were genuinely disturbed. And even to the point where there was, you know, a person seen urinating on a police car. We're actually in a pretty dire state right now when it comes to this. And as bad as some of the incidents have been in terms of what we've been able to see, there's a whole lot more going on in some venues that we just don't get to see.
Purple, just take the New York Manhattan attitude.
Put them inside.
Put them away, and they've got to pay $30,000 to get out, and then they've got to come up with a very good reason why they're allowed back in an AFL venue in 10 years.
I'd life ban them.
Because unless you take it seriously, they'll keep doing it.
Yeah, and that's what's happening.
Right, are we sending buses anywhere?
Yeah, we'll go. We will.
Rabsy. Bus.
Well, that one's still at the Carlton Ground, Bill, but we're going to send the other one. Bring it back from the Hume Highway from Sydney Swans, and we'll go to Tullamarine. Just need to watch this space on Essendon. 3-5. It's a very similar feel to what was happening this time last year, and we know what happened then.
All right. Nice to see you, Purple. Thanks for that. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, Purple. Now, Jim, NBA playoffs.
Yes.
Game 7. It's the Toronto Raptors up against the Philly 76ers, our man Ben Simmons, who had 13 points, 8 rebounds. But it came right down to the buzzer, didn't it, Rabsy, here? And have a look at this. This is a long, long shot from Kiwa Tony Leonard.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
The Raptors won, Jim.
So it bounced 3 times on the rim.
4, I think.
4, was it?
Yeah. 4 Jeez. Times on the ring, up and down, and they won. They've won 92-90, so that means 76 is out. Benny
Bloody
boy.
Hell.
Will he come back to Australia or will he stay in America where he's seen? Is he still seeing one of the Kardashians?
But he loves his Bombers. So he might slide back and watch Essendon.
Kardashians might have a family reunion.
I don't
think
it matters to him whether they're winning or not. He just likes coming back and jumping in. MCG or Marvel and watching the footy, Bill.
I think he'd rather stay over there and jump in, Jim.
Oh, come on.
Ball now with Phillips. Gets it to Blair. Ball falls down to Dunn. He shoots for 45 and a much-needed goal for Collingwood.
Oh, what about that for audio? Dunny just sneaking forward and slotting one.
Where do we get that from?
It's cheapest. Welcome to you, Lyndon Dunn.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Now, tell us, mate, how's your knee, first of all? Yes. Let's get the obvious one out of the way.
The knee's good.
Yep.
Going well 4 weeks post-op. A little bit frustrated. Probably looks better than 4 weeks at the moment. So I'm at that frustrating stage where I'm sort of waiting to progress to the next stage, but doing everything on the bike, in the gym, walking, swimming, everything but running at the moment. So just trying to get it right.
Do you want to do more and you can't? Is that what happens?
Well, I think everyone wants to always do more.
Yeah.
Once you get all the swelling out, then I can start running and then we can really start tucking in. But I'm probably a few weeks off that yet.
Ultra G. Is that what it's called, Ultra G?
No, straight outside, mate.
Right. You don't do any of that?
Okay. Old school.
Right. That's old school, isn't it?
That for me, I'm not interested in the treadmills, really, or any cardio in general, but you've got to do a little bit.
Now, tell us about the operation. We spoke about this. I know that was on Triple M footy but for the rush hour people. The operation, at one stage, you were thinking about getting some donor, or what do you call it?
No, don't say anything, Dunny. What's it called?
It's getting a donation.
Oh! of what type, Bill?
Well, for his knee. Yes. So I don't know, off the hamstring of a dead person.
Yeah, that's partially correct.
Yeah, Bill. Well, you explain it better.
We were looking
LD.
At the cadaver graft.
Yeah, so, the cadaver graft.
Yes,
yeah, that's it, Bill.
They'd be taking the front of the shin of someone who's deceased. Jeez. And putting that through my knee. It was ready to go. I met with the surgeon day of the surgery, and he just. he'd been away for 2 weeks and he was losing sleep over the fact that if I did it again with the cadaver graft, he wouldn't be able to live with himself. So we ended up taking the hamstring tendon from my other leg. Oh. So I had a quad tendon graft last year from the same leg, and this time I had the hammy tendon. So my tendons are perfect. It's not the reason that my knee went the second time. So we sort of know what we're getting with that. Stick to what you know.
Mm. And I heard Alex Rance also is going okay. So he must be in the same boat as you. Have you spoken to Rancey? Had a coffee?
Yeah, might have caught up with Rancey a couple of weeks ago.
Look at Fat.
So just see, we get all the information. So, yeah,
you get
what did you and Rancey talk about?
We obviously spoke about our knees, and Rancey's not a big coffee drinker. I found out he had an almond hot chocolate, I think, or something of the sort.
Almond hot chocolate. Come on, Rancey.
Come on, Rancey.
But it was great to catch up with Rancey and talk about where we're at. Obviously in the same boat. Happy to hear how he's going and what he's going through, having been there and going through it again myself. And I've had countless number of players hit me up on Instagram, which has been really nice. Players that I've never met before. And
give us some examples of who's.
Alex Johnson reached out. Zach Merritt, had Paddy McCartan. I'm going to miss.
And you've got some
there
at your own club too, of course. The Sack, who was in here last week, has come back successfully. Yeah. Maddie Scharenberg's a very sad story.
The Bergs, only a few weeks off playing half a game, I think, in the VFL, so he's tracking very well, so that's very exciting.
Three knee reconstructions, Fat. Three. Yeah. So we wish him all the best.
And how far away is he? Just close.
Oh. 3 weeks, yeah. So he's just in the last phase of his training
Jim
block.
Just so he completely didn't listen.
No,
to
Jim
what
talked
Lennon
over him.
Said.
I couldn't hear what you're saying. What have you got a mullet?
At the moment, yes.
It looks actually suits you.
Well, yeah, I've got a great haircut and a good head for radio, so lucky I'm in here today with you boys. But I am growing my mullet out. We've got mullets for the kids. It's a charity we're doing. So I've grown mine from October last year till September this year, so she's going to be quite long and lengthy by the time we're through. But we've raised just under $22,000 at the moment. There's about 25 of us doing it. There's a nice little barbershop, Beast Barbers in Richmond, where Sean cuts in the mullets and everyone jumps on board. There's an Instagram page and Facebook page, and you can jump up there and donate and keep up to date with some fun and funky mullets. So
he's making a bit of a comeback. Jack Stephen, of course, you've got young Bailey Smith from the Dogs. That's a ferocious mullet he's rolling with.
Exactly.
I feel like that's not for any charity either, Bailey. I just think he likes the look of it.
Well, it's a very nice mullet. I'll give him that. We're happy to have him on board if he wants to raise a little bit of money.
Last week they had the mullet rat's tail.
Sam Petreski.
Yes.
Yeah. Bill's almost got a mullet, just got no hair at the front.
Yeah, exactly. Then you flick it over and, there's plenty of hair over there.
KB
over
style. Top. You're talking about doing the KB.
He's got a mullet and a moustache. Different cat, isn't he? Jim, look at him.
I've assessing. Been called worse, so I'll take that.
How the family? Now, we will get to Collingwood next. We'll talk about the big game, but the family's going well. Emmett, the young bloke.
And?
Emmett and Easton, yeah. Easton, Emmett's the oldest. He's 8, going well.
Going
on 18.
Nice.
And, young Easton's 10 weeks old, so he's also going well. Sleeps like a champion.
Good.
Touching wood. And it's very exciting at home at the moment.
Beautiful Sam in control of everything?
Yeah, she's the boss and doing quite well.
Hey, would you look after her yesterday?
I did, first Mother's Day for Sam.
Yeah.
So we had a great time. We were down at the in-laws for breakfast.
Nice.
cooked the breakfast and, we had a great time. Just went for a walk and visited her grandparents as well. So
you go get a nice bottle of champagne or something, Dunny, just to make her feel really special?
No drinking at the moment with the breast milk.
Oh, I see. So,
straight and arrow.
Yes, the breast milk. And then they get... Anyway,
what do they get, Bill?
Used to come home.
What do they get, Bill?
Oh, starts with M, I reckon.
Yeah, mastitis. Yeah, mastitis.
Happy to help you,
I used
Bill.
To get it. Good on you,
Dunny. JB wasn't coming to you.
Easton, never, ever.
Easton Clunes.
Clunes, yes.
So, Clunes?
Yes, Clunes. So
where's Clunes come from? A family name?
Yeah, so Sam's grandfather, one of his middle names is Clunes. So my middle name's Spencer, which is my mum's dad. So it sort of runs through the family that the grandfather gets a mention in the middle name. Well, so that's
tell
where they come
Lyndon
from.
What you said last week about family names?
No, I can't remember. I'm not well. Stupid pumpkinhead out here. He's called, his family name is Windmill. So in his family name, his grandfather is old Robert Windmill. What's his surname?
Pumpkin.
Pumpkin. But there are some strange family names. And there really is. Like, Clunes.
All right. Going to get to Lyndon Dunn and the Collingwood Footy Club's win over Carlton on the weekend.
Collingwood's Lyndon Dunn's in the studio.
Who turns 32 tomorrow, Jimmy
Does.
Boy.
Happy birthday for tomorrow, Dunny.
Cheers, boys.
And you drag some blokes with you too. I think Gary Ablett, you were saying, is also tomorrow.
Yeah, I think there's Gaz, Dice Heppel, Boomer, Harvey.
Jeez, little Boom Boom.
How old's Boomer?
72.
Well, Gaz is about 70.
Late 30s, Boom. He'd be nearly 40, actually. Mm. Hey, what to the game we all called the game on Saturday. It was a terrific game of footy to call. Closer, I know, than you would have wanted from the Collingwood point of view. But just in the end, smack those five on in a row and distance yourself right at the end.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to turn it on like that. We'd liked to have sewn the game up a little bit earlier, but to Carlton's credit, they came out and... In a true fashion of Carlton and Collingwood games in the past, they're always very close. So they've got some real match winners. Cripps was outstanding. Amazing. He's having a super year. And you throw the likes of Curno, McKay, and some of these boys, they're pretty hard to stop.
Yep.
But when the game was on the line, our boys stood up and sort of held them at arm's length for that last 5 or 10 minutes and got it done just.
Boomer Harvey, 41 tomorrow.
41, is
41.
He? 41.
41. Callum Brown was outstanding, wasn't he?
Very good, Brownie. Yeah.
Good with his hands.
He's actually very skillful. He looks unpolished and he's a little nugget of a thing. At the moment, he's playing really good footy for us and kind of going under the radar, which is nice too when you're a young player and sort of just doing your thing and going about your business. So he kicked a really nice left foot snap, which was nice. But his pressure and hunt at the footy and the opposition is very underrated and something we rate very highly at our footy club.
And Jordan Roughhead has also been superb for you.
Yeah, Ruffy's been really good. Tough spot to fill that one that was left there.
Yes, big boots.
But Ruffy is one of the great humans. So as soon as he came across, he just launched in and he's very quiet, goes about his business, doesn't say very much, but at the moment he's getting it done. With Big Das Moore, who's probably had a little bit more media and publicity than Ruffy, but those two are holding down key posts.
Got some good boys back there. Braden Maynard, we liked.
Half hard.
Speaking of mullets, he's half a fashion.
It's a rat tail, I reckon. It's a serious sharp haircut from Bruzzy.
It is. It was interesting on the weekend because you called this, Jim, that it was back in the good old days, Peter Knights and Paul Vanderhaar. The matchups one-on-one with Darcy Moore and Charlie Curnow. It was good to watch.
Yeah, it's... Carlton sort of have a structure up forward where they isolate you a little bit and that's the way they like to play and sort of surge the ball up the ground. So, we were sort of stuck on an island as defenders a bit more than we wanted to be on the weekend. But from a football perspective and what the fans want to see, it's very exciting.
Oh, it's good. And you're in the coach's box because you rate yourself as a coach. You've done your Cert 3, I think it is, and the coaches with the girls there, Jim, Collingwood down there, and that's aspirations to be a coach, haven't you?
I'd love to play forever, but that's not going to happen. No. So I'm certainly closer to the end than the start. So coaching's something I'll look at when I finish playing, but interesting scenes in the box on the weekend at times, as always.
What did you learn?
He looks pretty calm, Bucks.
Yeah.
He's pretty good, yeah. The phone gets a working over sometimes, both verbally and physically.
Yes.
And when Tommy Phillips gave away that 100-metre penalty in the last quarter, I think Nathan had to remove himself just for a few seconds to go and get a drink of water or splash something on the face. But
we've had Tommy in here, and he's a good boy. But
he's not going to launch any rockets.
No. How did he not know that you can't do that?
Yeah. Well, there would have been 70,000 people at the ground knowing what he was about to do was illegal and plenty more listening on Triple M and watching on the TV. And he was the only one that didn't know what he was doing. So we went through that today at the club. And
I reckon you would have.
Yep. Just to make it clear on what the rules actually are.
So
with that.
The instruction, looking at it, should be that once you've given away the 50, you should evacuate the area completely and let someone down the ground stand the mark.
Yeah, basically. If they're in front of you, the person with the ball getting the 50-metre penalty, if they're in front of you and you run from behind them and get in front, it's another 50.
It's another 50, always.
So it's not worth it. Mm. And the way that team defences play now, you can 16 or can defend 18 anyway. Yep. So if you give away a 50-metre penalty, probably just remove yourself from the game and run straight to the bench and let someone else take care of it.
Played your whole career in the back half, most of it anyway. Have you ever thought with a kick for goal late in the game that you might just climb the padding of the goalpost?
Yeah, interesting. I was actually a Hawthorn supporter as a kid, and I remember being at Waverley one day, and I forget who we were playing, but Daniel Harford climbed the post.
Yes.
And there was a mark on the post. It was after the fact. May have been St Kilda, I can't remember, but I'm certainly not strong enough to climb the post, and I don't think the post would be able to bear my weight anyway.
Or either halves too.
Big fat ass. He just sort of aimed his ass at it.
Any more tattoos, Lyndon?
Not yet. No, I've got a bit of room on the chest to sort of finish it off, but. I did ask Emmett if I should get a tattoo for Easton.
And what did he say?
He said yes. He doesn't know what I should get. So it's sort of in the works. And once they're on, they're there for a long time. So might as well take my time with it.
What about Sam? Her thoughts on them?
Not wrapped, I don't think. but, again, we're married and that's that. So can't really change too much, I don't think.
What was your... what did you have tattooed on your chest? It was an interesting little comment or... jargon? What was it?
Jargon.
A smooth sea never made a skillful sailor.
You know what that means.
Yes, I do.
And remember he told us that? Yes. Poor old Rabsy had no idea what it meant, but we all knew what it meant. Where do you get that from?
I'm not sure. Oh, actually, it was a bit of a joke between myself and a few of the boys, maybe about around 2012, and I thought, well, I'll actually just get it on the chest and put it there and... Still there.
Such is life.
Yep.
No, not that at all, Bill. No. So a totally different one.
That was Ned Kelly, of course.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah. Lyndon, great seeing you and great seeing you up and about and starting to get back into it. It's good.
When will you be back?
Well, I'm hoping for later in the year, but the biggest thing for me is not doing it again. So fingers crossed we can sneak out there for September maybe, but nothing promised.
Dunny. Good to see you, mate.
Dunny.
Now, listen, time to get the family involved, 1-3-5-3 style.
Yeah.
We just had Mother's Day, of course, yesterday, and prior to that was my own 38th birthday. So, Bill, what it meant was that there are a couple of cards that I found quite humorous.
Ah,
firstly,
I had the
birthday cards from the kids, and so Saturday, George, who's 13, my third son, handed me a card. He and Fred had both written on it.
Yes.
And George goes, "Happy birthday, Dad. Hope you had a great day." And I can't remember what he said next. And then he said, "You're nice to me 98% of the time."
98?
Apparently. Well, I said to him, "What does that mean?" Yeah. He goes, "Well, it's better than I was going to write, which was 85%.
85%? I would have thought 98's all right.
Well, anyway, I just thought it was hilarious that he's actually put a percentage of me being nice to him. So anyway, that was the first one that made me giggle. Yeah. And then yesterday, of course, Mother's Day. So Lise, her eldest son, or her, because she's got a boy and a girl, her son, said in his card to her, "This is going to be short because I'm saving my words for your birthday card."
Saving his words for...
Yeah, but and her birthday's in October.
So he just couldn't be stuffed writing anything, Jim, to be honest.
So, hence, 1-3-3-5-3, what we're doing here. What are you giving away, please, Rabsy?
Triple M's putting together their own comedy night. Will Anderson, Limo, Adam Rosenbarks. Nice. Invite only. You can win two tickets to that. The Comics Lounge, voted 7th best comedy venue in the world.
Beautiful.
Good.
All right.
Good.
Tell us the funny stuff that your kids have written in a card, because both of them made me giggle.
Yeah, they did.
You're nice to me 98% of the time. 1-3-3-5-3, we'll take your calls next. Asking you 1-3-3-5-3, the funny stuff your kids have written in a card, Fat.
Well, I got one back in kindergarten. Ruby had made a nice card at kinder for me, and I opened it up on Father's Day. And it said, and I quote, "This is my dad. He is big and has a doodle."
Oh.
That's what it said on the card.
And probably both accurate.
Yeah, it should have been.
No, it was accurate the way she wrote it. Yeah, Lockie Caulfield. Hello, Lockie.
Lockie.
How are you, boys?
Good, Lockie.
What happened, man?
My little brother wrote a message for me birthday, and you get your card in front of family, and it read, "Just pretend you're reading a nice heartfelt message. Happy birthday, dickhead."
Lovely.
How good. Stay there. Mark Nary Warren. Hello, Marco.
Here you go, boys.
Hey, Marco.
That's good. She wrote to me. She goes, "To the biggest nose of all times, love you, Jessica."
Oh. You got a big nose, have you?
I think so.
Have a listen to Marco. Max is on the line from Frankston. Hello, Maxie.
Hello.
Maxie, what have you written?
So my mum asked for a Mother's Day card, and all she said was, "I want something special for Mother's Day." So I wrote the words in the card, "Something special."
Yes, Maxie.
Clever.
Did Mum like it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Something
go see
special.
Funny, Bill. That's good.
That is clever.
Anwar in Warragul, Bill.
Who?
Anwar.
Anwar, a great opener for Pakistan.
Saeed.
Saeed Anwar.
Yes. What do you got for us, Anwar?
How are you going, boys?
Good, man.
Good, mate. Good. I had the boys organised Saturday night.
And I said, you got your cards and everything ready? Yep, yep, all good to go.
Yeah.
And then Sunday morning comes out, they give Mum the presents.
Mm.
And then they give him the card. And I said, what have you done? And they said, nothing. And the cards were still in the packaging. So they just handed it straight to Mum.
Handed her a card, Bill, with nothing written.
With nothing written.
And then been opened up.
That's right.
They're better than that. You've got to be better than that.
And I would have fixed that up.
That's it. Rachel's in Sunshine, Bill.
Now, Rachel.
Hi, guys.
Hey, good.
So my 9-year-old daughter wrote on my Mother's Day card yesterday thanking me for everything I do for the family, especially when Dad's too busy with the man flu or is too lazy to help me.
That's it.
Oh, how good.
And is that true, yep. Rach?
Oh, absolutely.
What's She's his dead. Name?
His name's Daniel.
Come on, Daniel. Your man flu. How long was he in bed?
Oh, he only took one day, but the week before we all heard about how hard up he was, and so Mum had to do everything.
Right, back in Adelaide when I lived there, I knew a couple, and she had Mother's Day twice a year, on Mother's Day and on Father's Day, because she said, he's that right. hopeless that I'm having his day too. Maybe that should happen at your joint. Stay there.
Well done, Rach.
Daniel from Sunbury. Hello, Dan, man.
Yeah, I got a card from my daughter when she was in prep. It said, I love my dad so much, even when he farts on me.
Oh, you don't fart on her, surely, Daniel.
I'm sure I've never farted on her, but maybe I have, I don't know.
You must have. That's she great. Remembers
to top
that.
To top it off, she read it out at the assembly at school.
That's it. Come on, Dan.
Geez, you just sneak away from the assembly, Dan.
Stop easing him out on your daughter.
And then going, Vince.
So, Bill.
Lockie, Jim.
Oh. Yeah.
Lockie was good. The little brother said, yes. Just pretend this is a really nice heartfelt. Yeah, message.
Happy birthday, dickhead. I like it. Lockie.
How are you, boys?
All right, mate. What is Lockie?
He's got two tickets to the Triple M Comedy Night featuring Will Anderson, Limo and Adam Rosenbarks at the Comedy Lounge. Invite only.
And now, have we got footy tickets?
Oh, yeah, we do.
Essendon?
Yes.
Maxi?
Yes?
We got Essendon tickets for you, mate. Are you an Essendon fan?
Yep.
Oh, would you like to go to the footy, watch the Bombers?
Yep.
All right, stay on the line, Maxie. We'll get those tickets to you.
And Rachel was good, Jim.
Yes, fantastic.
What do we got for Rach?
Geelong Bulldog tickets or Neverland Store Clothing Pack, which is your Nina and Pasadena.
Nina, Pasadena. Rach?
Yes, please. Nina and Pasadena.
All right, that's yours, Rachel.
Well done.
Enjoy that.
Thank you.
Well done. Oh, what about our topic? See, when I get a hold of Mondays, it just jettisons us into the week with quality. Unlike, you know, something unusual.
Fat over there.
Unlike fat rolling with an unusual. It's just, that one there, Bill, is just, it reeks of quality. Speaking of which.
What?
Anything humorous coming?
Well, we're looking at it. What's the joke today, Jim? We'll have a look at the Herald Sun.
In the Herald Sun. Tomorrow, interesting show, The Top Flight, in she comes.
Ah, Bridge.
Bridge Duclos, love when she comes in, of course. And then Melbourne Storm's Christian Welsh.
Welshy.
Different type. Very, very intellectual, this man.
Clever.
So you leave that one to me.
No, Jim.
I don't think you're going to be on his level.
I am. I was HSC at Assumption. Did I just see it?
Thank you, Bill.
I think everyone does.
Everyone
does year 12.
If you finish year 12, you sort of do, yeah.
Picked 150 goals. And they passed me, Jim.
Oh, no.
The brothers like that.
Just some miracle you ended up passing.
No, I actually didn't.
Yeah, but this man's like up around the 98, 99 at our sort of level.
Well, he's too smart.
Well, Bill, that's why I leave it to me
but
when
is
he comes in.
Street smart, that's the key.
Well,
you can
be
smart, smart, Jim, but get nowhere in life.
Will you?
But if you're street smart, like, mwah, you get through all the nooks and crannies and everything, Jim. Don't worry about that.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So that, and the other thing you can do, by the way, is get on the win page get stuck into Bill's massive ball with an incredible prize from TaylorMade. You go to Queenstown, you and a mate play Jack's Point twice, stay in the lake house over there, courtesy of the great people at TaylorMade.
Yes.
So get stuck into that as well. All right, Fat, come on.
Oh, yeah.
End the day with a laugh. This is Billy's joke.
Let's face it, if your socks are knocked off by Billy's joke, time for new socks. All day socks by Underworks.
What are you doing, you fool's head? You got glasses on.
Jim, we've had trouble with the printer out there.
Have we?
So I can't see, so I got Jill's glasses.
Oh, no.
James Bond, Jim, walks into a bar and takes a seat next to a very attractive woman.
Right.
He gives her a quick glance up and down at Jim and then casually looks at his watch. The woman noticed this and asks, is your date running late? No, he replies. Q has just given me the state of an of the art watch.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I'm just testing it.
Right.
The intrigue woman says, state of art. Hmm, I like that. What is so special about this watch? Well, says James, it uses alpha waves to talk to me. Bond explains. Well, I'm... you got the joke so far. So what is it telling you now, says the woman. Well, it says you're not wearing any underwear.
Oh.
Bond replies. Mm-hmm. The woman giggles and says, well, it must be broken because I am wearing underwear. Mm. Bond smirks to himself, Jim.
Yes.
And he taps his watch. He says, bloody thing's an hour fast.
Oh, no.
It's an hour fast.
Look at
Jimmy.
Jane and Mick.
He only needs an hour
How
bonding.
How flat are they now?
I'll tell you what, that's not James Bond I'm looking at.
No.
Colonel Gaddafi or something.
Oh, like, they got to pick the old station back up again.
Like Colonel Gaddafi. Have a look at him. Have a shave.
Mazda. Get an end of financial year bonus on Mazda BT50.